All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brendan Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet. Three, go, 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 go.
Whiskey Tango Fox, whiskey Tango.
Foxtrot. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, episode number 20, the big 20. That's two decades. That's one score. However you'd like to look at it, that is four nickels worth of episodes.
That is four nickels worth of episodes.
Welcome to Life's a Banquet podcast, the podcast about the highs and lows of all things edible, spreadable, and pourable.
Wow, Breton, you nailed it. It only took 20 episodes.
I'm a real professional now. Kids, thank you for listening. Thank you, listeners. We wanted to talk to you. Are you listening? Norway. Hi, Norway, wearing the jeans and the white t-shirt. Uh-huh. You.
Mm-hmm. We see you.
Perfect.
We have listeners in Norway other than our friend Paulina, mm-hmm. who is in Norway and listening. But
that is right.
There's more of you. If you're out there, please email us and let us know who you are.
Thank you for all the wonderful feedback and comments. People were asking questions. We got the ones about like good cornbread recipes. And we try to answer everything as quickly as possible. Again, Instagram is also a really great way to get a hold of us.
Yes, the kids are all doing it.
Mm-hmm. Direct message us. We will respond to every one of your queries.
Even my mom's on Instagram. The internet is not safe anymore.
Yeah, no. Bob and Carlene, my parents. Bob and Carlene.
Do they share a dual Instagram?
They do, and my mom says she sees pictures on the phone. You know.
Uh huh. My mom goes, I was on blah blah blah's Instagram. She stalks. She doesn't have a picture. She just has a name. She never likes or comments on anything ever.
She's a voyeur.
Unless she's drunk. She's a voyeur, and she'll go, I was on Breton's Instagram the other day, but she mentions Instagram more than anyone. Bobby, I'm calling you out. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry, Bobby. You're outed.
Well, now we got you. We got you, Bobby.
And then I'll be like, Mom, like, you know, I'll say something about it. And she's like, I don't know how to use it. I don't like it. I don't even know what I'm doing. I just go on. I'm like, it's okay to
Instagram. It's like, you know what? What I tell my mom, I said, it's like, remember the old days, for those of you that are born after, oh God, the year 2000.
You used to look in a photo album?
The year 2000. Yay. We used to go to a restaurant and somebody would get back from a trip and you would go and you would bring a photo album or you'd get out the pictures that you printed out from Walgreens or CVS and you
exactly.
would go through them and be like, now this is when we're in front of the Coliseum. okay, oh my God, don't look at that one. That's bad.
Oh, yeah, like one of a butt comes up. You're like, ah.
Oh, exactly. I will never forget. You want to hear a good story, everybody?
Oh,
here's a good story. Remember the days of disposable cameras? You might.
Oh, yes.
Millennials, you might see them occasionally.
I still have some.
Mm-hmm. Weddings still use them. So I was waiting tables at my very first real waiter job. It was called Jumpin' Jacks. It was a copycat of, what's that thing called? The TGI Fridays. It was a TGI Fridays copycat.
Lots of flair.
Mm-hmm. We had to wear buttons on our suspenders.
Oh,
we had to
sing
happy birthday to guests.
What the hell? What did you do? What was your job?
I was a waiter.
Wow, okay.
And so the restaurant was really cool. It was in Kohler, Wisconsin, and you had to go. There was an outdoor floating deck. Remember I told you the story when I like dropped all my drinks?
Oh.
Yeah. There was a pier. So there was that job. There was also a sun deck, so we would have to serve people on the sun deck because it was part of a hotel, so people could go. Okay, so listen, check this out before we get into it. And this wife comes up to me. It was an old man and a woman, probably in their 70s, and she said, Oh, waiter, would you please take a picture of me and my husband?
Okay.
I said, absolutely, you know, give me that disposable crama, you know, click, 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 wine. And he was in a swimsuit on a lounge chair.
Wait a minute, hold on.
His balls were hanging out of the side of his purple swimsuit. And I was just a little 18-year-old, and I just was like, well, let's get a damn picture of that.
Oh.
So I took like five pictures of his balls.
And you like zoomed
and
in
I
on
did.
The balls.
I was like, can I get a little bit closer? I was a smart little 18-year-old. And then I went back. I was like, they're perfect. You know what's so funny? You kids, you can't do that now with an iPhone because they'd be like, wait, let me see. And you'd be like, caught right in hand.
Exactly.
Caught purple.
Purple bald.
Purple bald.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
So that was that.
That's really funny.
Zara, tell me about your week. Zara just made me a delicious salad.
Wasn't that good? That was like a clean out the fridge salad, but it was still really good.
Roasted veggies, some toasted almonds.
Toasted smoked almonds, roasted veggies, kale. Some chopped tuna.
Kale. Oh, yum.
A nice jar of flat tuna, which is the most unattractive name for anything. Flat.
Isn't that a name of a Russian airline?
I don't know, but who's like deciding? Aeroflot. What should we name our tuna company? I've got it.
Flat. Well, hey, it's doing really well.
It's Italian tuna. It's the one Italian word that I've ever heard that doesn't end in a vowel.
It probably was some more, some other influence.
Anyway, we're working for Flat now.
Okay, it's so great tuna. Salad.
Great salad. What's been going on my week? Well,
funny I should ask.
Funny you should ask. So
what's so funny?
I have this tire. I'm not, you guys.
Oh, my dad. The tire.
Dad died. For anyone who's just joining the podcast, I have dad. Rest in peace, Johnny. I miss you every day. Anyway, so I'm gonna go cry. You can finish the story.
Yeah,
I'm
just gonna pause. Okay, we're back.
Okay, and we're back.
Try those tears.
So I got a flat tire coming back from Asheville like forever ago. I flew off the road. This was like 6 months ago when we were just little young podcasters just beginning. I think I told this story.
Before we were rich and famous.
Exactly. Now we're podcasting from the top of the Plaza Hotel.
That's right.
Just kidding. Donald Trump owns the Plaza Hotel. We're never going there. We're never going. So anyway.
I heard the Chinese bought it.
Oh, really?
I don't know. That's what they said.
Anyway, too complicated. Let's stay out of the plaza.
We are here.
Into the Waldorf.
We're at the Hanson Place in Brooklyn. We are Brooklyn kids.
We're at the top of the rock.
And just so everybody knows, if you're not in New York, we don't live in Williamsburg. Oh. We're not those people.
No.
We live in brownstone lined streets. There's Italian delis on the corner. Yeah. You can get fresh mozzarella from a guy that stalks me.
Totally. It's all very glamorous. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, back to my story.
Oh, yeah. Your story.
So I'm
so
giving
you
a build up here. Okay. I got a flat tire months ago. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, a bit of air
has been
leaking out of my
tire. Yes. One needs a new tire.
One does need a new tire. Yes. So about once a week, I have to put air in my tire. Yesterday, it was so flat that I called AAA to come bring the air to me. Now, as we mentioned, I think in last week's episode, Breton and Preston had a gay old time collecting black walnuts.
Ah, yes. Oh, black walnuts.
Black walnuts. It was fun for you guys, right? Yeah,
where are they? Where are they?
Well, it's so funny you ask because yesterday.
Yeah, where are the walnuts that I
want? Hadn't gone into my car in about a week.
Mm-hmm. Since I've collected the black walnuts.
Exactly. You had mentioned they were still in the car.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I couldn't wait. They were drying out.
Yes. Well, they were drying out.
Okay.
So
what's
yesterday when
so where are they?
The lovely gentleman from AAA comes over. He really was lovely. He was very, very gorgeous.
Oh,
nice
really?
Guy.
He
was wearing a 3-piece suit though.
Okay. Well, that's very nice. A 3-piece. Well, AAA.
He was wearing a 5-piece suit.
He had 7 pieces of suit on. It was incredible. Not 1, not 2, not 3, 4, 5, 6, but 7.
He was wearing a 3-piece suit with a Santa suit over it. So anyway, he comes over and I go in the car. And I'm like, what is this pungent aroma in my car?
Like citrus and black walnuts?
Kind of. It has like a weird smell, like black walnuts. It didn't smell bad, but it didn't smell good. It was like medicinal.
It does. It has a medicinal. It has some citrus, but almost eucalyptus-y.
Yes, very much like eucalyptus.
But also earthy and mushroomy or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Like a mushroom eucalyptus.
Well, also, these were probably on the ground and they were probably starting to
There was something
decay.
Awry.
Okay.
So for anyone who doesn't know what a black walnut looks like in the wild, when it falls off a tree and it's not, past
its
prime.
It's like a green golf ball.
Yeah, it's a green golf ball. So I go in the car and I see these blackened little balls. And
yeah,
I'm like,
they turn black.
Interesting, the walnuts turn black. So I'm like, I dump them out, and then the guy's like, what you got there? And I'm like, oh, my.
Did he really have that accent?
Oh, yes. That part is true. Hey, he's like, what you got there? And I was like, my silly friend went around collecting black walnuts from Long Island. He's like, why'd you let him do that? And I was like, I don't know.
Good question.
So he picks one of them up, and he goes to, break it open, and he does. And I don't know, about 10,000 maggots crawling out of it. And he goes, oh, my God, this thing is full of worms.
Maggots?
It was full of maggots. And I was like, we just had a Larry David moment of looking at each other. And he was like, what the hell is going on with this woman? She just pulls and there was so many of them.
And you're probably in your head being like, why is my friend Breton leaving this
stuff in my car.
There was so many black walnuts and maggots. So many maggots. And I just couldn't possibly...
Weird? They were just in the back of your car,
yeah,
incubating.
Just eating.
They were I didn't see maggots when I got them because they were little baby seedlings.
Yeah.
That turned into full grown. Think of the noise.
Yeah, they were like...
Zara called me. She said, I got a bone to pick with you. I was like, yeah, go ahead, I'm busy. What's it? She's like, the black ones. I'm like, yeah, where are they? I need them. And she's like, they're filled with maggots. I'm like, I might have seen a couple of maggots when I was picking them, but don't worry about it.
You knew they were maggots and you still let them go in the car?
Don't call me out on this.
What if my car is full of maggots?
My first concern when I heard the story was... My Christmas cookies are ruined. Not like, oh,
your
I'm so
car
sorry
has, been, has been co-opted by maggots and is like no longer drivable. Your dead
you
father's
get an
car.
Accent, you fall over and then like instead of like them saving you, the maggots just start eating you alive.
Immediately. I'm going to like take my car up to this party that I have to work tonight and like I'm going to get out and my leg's going to be gone. It's going to be eaten by maggots.
Oh my gosh.
Well, anyway, never let Brenton borrow your car. What were the other things that were in there? There was these other giant
Those
fruits.
Are called Osage. Osage oranges or something. Osage. They're big things.
Yeah.
They're these pods that fall off this off the tree. There's actually a Martha Stewart blog about them.
Oh, well, those were also full of maggots.
And they were?
Yeah.
Oh, darn it. Anyway, those are supposed to be natural roach repellents, but
oh.
Clearly the maggots didn't care about that.
They
All
weren't.
Right, well, let's talk. What did you cook besides?
You want to switch from
this
maggots?
To rust.
Well, it is Halloween.
It is, yes, creepy maggots.
Ooh, creeping maggots.
What? Now, what else did you make?
Okay, what else did I make week? I made, well, I'm doing a party tonight for some clients of mine
party.
That I really like a lot. I work with them a lot. And I did a stuffed flounder with mushrooms and spinach.
Can I stop you there?
No.
How did you stuff your flounder?
You know what I feel like this is like some kind of setup for a drink.
Kids, go get some lemonade. Now, Zara, how'd you stuff your flounder?
Well, I roll it into a fold and then
okay.
I, you know.
So it's long and flat. A flounder is a flat white fish,
it's
right?
It's a flat white fish. Mm-hmm. This is like local, beautiful flounder.
Okay.
I take it. I sprinkle it with some Maldon sea salt. I made a stuffing, like a simple stuffing of like lots of herbs, leeks.
Breadcrumbs?
Panko breadcrumbs. I didn't actually use any eggs.
Wow.
Yeah. Pecorino cheese, vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
And,
classic.
Classic. What I wanted to really talk to you guys about is that I made the perfect roasted mushrooms. I did not crowd the pan. I take my oven. I say, oven, you go up to 425 degrees right now. I take a sheet tray. I cover it in olive oil. I throw on very like...
Oh, boy, at 400. Okay,
425. Very sporadic amount. I'm not saying this right. Like not a very overcrowded pan of mushrooms.
Okay.
So very
few. So we're seeing some silver.
Lots of space.
Lots of space.
No salt.
No salt.
And then I throw it in 425 for about, I don't know, 15 minutes. And it came out like mushroom candy. They were shiitake mushrooms.
Oh, I have some mushroom candies. Would you like to take them? It is Halloween.
And then I ate them and now I'm tripping my balls off.
Yeah.
I'm tripping my purple balls.
My purple photographer balls off. I bet they have that photograph framed in their house.
I hope so. What did you make this week?
I had to do some food styling stuff.
Yeah.
And I made lots of chicken wings. I'm not allowed to say where I was working, but it was for a very well-known magazine.
Wow.
And anyway, it was chicken wings were
Chicken
some,
Wing Monthly?
Yeah, so I had to make a lot of different kinds of chicken wings. I did some with cornstarch, some with flour, some like a slurry cornstarch, we fry it, some we did grilled, some we did par baked and grilled and different sauces and marinade.
Wow.
It was actually really fun. I learned a lot
That's awesome.
About chicken wings.
What was the thing that you learned
well,
most?
Well, the one thing I learned was I think that's weird that we eat wings.
Weird. Also,
and
it's weird they don't fly, but yet
it's
there's
weird
so many wings.
So many wings. And then I just kind of thought, I had chickens and I just was like, oh, this is, if Annabelle, she's still alive. She's my pet chicken that I left in Denver that my brother has now. But I thought two of these keeps Annabelle alive. And
yeah.
And
well, they could probably live without the wings.
Yeah, I guess we could snip them off. But so that was really cool. And I learned that my favorite kind of wing was something that was, you know, the classic where you are done frying it and then you toss it in this wonderful sauce.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, like they'll do crystal hot sauce
that's
with
my
butter,
favorite.
Right?
Crystal and butter. That's
yeah,
all
yeah.
you need. You
could add a little sugar if you wanted to.
Ooh,
to
a little honey.
A little honey.
Mm-hmm. Give it. Those are breath. That was a cute P.S. That was the cutest laugh.
What? That one?
You just looked so cute when you were doing it, too. You shook like a little elf.
I shook like that. I was happy about those wings.
That sounds good.
Wings. I'm making some coconut cookies.
What the hell?
Lots of Spanish tortilla. I made lots of beans. I'm making...
Oh, of course. Breton's beans. Once again, somehow missed... I guess my bean invitation got lost in the mail.
I know what I made. This is a good one. Okay. Ooh, folks. I inspired my friend Maya. I was thinking it got very cold in New York, and I thought, I need something very heavy and fattening.
Freezing. So
I had all this leftover broccoli that you got for this food styling thing, and then I roasted it, and then I made it into broccoli cheddar beer soup.
Was it delicious? What kind of beer did you end up using?
I used a Sapporo.
Ooh.
And then there was another one that was on sale for $2 for a large can. It was all I could afford. Oh, Coors. So it's got a little bit of Coors.
It's some other kind of French brand, Coors,
Cool. And then I used some Sapporo, and you know, I just cooked down. It's really easy. I added some chicken stock. You make a little roux. That's like another bite of the butter with the flour. You thicken it up with some milk, some heavy cream. And then at the last minute, you know, when this is all, you kind of puree it, you can use a stick blender or put it in your Vitamix or blender. And then I finish it with a little bit of beer. And then you add the cheese, and then you stew it, and then I was going to serve, well, I haven't eaten it yet.
In a bread bowl.
You make a bread bowl, and I thought, I want broccoli, beer, cheddar soup in a bread bowl, which has
amazing
3,900 calories per serving, and I don't care.
That is a lot, but that's so amazing.
I don't know if it really does.
Any food where you can eat the dish is perfect.
This is what we should all.
A taco salad.
Yeah.
What else?
That's right. President, we have a wonderful recipe for President Trump's favorite beef taco salad. Apparently he makes the best.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's really good. It's just like a well-done hamburger with like Ortega on top.
JK. Broccoli cheer.
Broccoli and cheer soup. Guess what? I want to say one other thing that happened to me because it was so upsetting. It nearly ruined my whole life.
I'm ready to hear your life being ruined.
I got stung by a bee.
Zara came over.
A bee.
We actually had a meeting about a future.
About my bee sting.
Yeah, bee sting. We were having a meeting about a future live event that Zara and I are going to produce, perform, star, record.
It's going to be amazing. We're going to tell you about it next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, so there's a little something coming up. Very exciting. Anyway, so Zara runs over as we have the meeting. I'm like, oh, here she comes with her drama. She's like, I got stung by a bee. I'm like, yeah, it was probably a mosquito. And it's probably a fly. And you're just being dramatic. Sure enough, your knee was very large. I immediately crushed up some aspirin. I didn't.
Aspirin out. We never did it. I'm fine, but I have to be honest with you. It's like more funky now than it was before.
Yeah, they don't call it a bee sting for nothing.
What is the bee sting cocktail? Gin, honey, and lemon?
I think so, too. I should know this. I used to bartend forever.
A bee sting cocktail is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm one of those bartenders.
I'm not huge into honey, to be honest with you, in a cocktail. Yeah. I like it on like a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or in salad dressing.
Okay, so that led me to think about something.
What did it?
Well, do you know what Whiskey Tango stands for?
WT. You know, when you're trying to say something, you say like the whole word.
Yeah, but it means something for white trash.
Oh, really?
I don't know. That's what the Urban Dictionary said.
Really?
I was thinking about that.
Wow. So what made you think about whiskey, Breton?
Well, we were thinking about our topic for this week.
Something brown, whiskey. Something
warm. Did you know that? Yes.
Our topic's whiskey, people.
Yeah, yeah. Whiskey. What a broad topic. How dare you two nobodies from Brooklyn tend to go to delve into the large and
the
gigantic history of whiskey.
Our Southern listeners and our Irish listeners and our Scottish listeners and our Canadian listeners and our Japanese listeners are all going to be very upset with this.
What's the old saying? Not all bourbon or all whiskey.
What is not all bourbon. Not all whiskey is bourbon, but all bourbon is whiskey.
Exactly. God, I could never get that right.
Well, you know what I learned? I mean, I'm not going to start my story quite yet, but I did learn that Bourbon, Kentucky is actually a place. And that's where that was like the DOC basically.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, please.
You had some interesting history about whiskey.
I do.
Right?
I just have some interesting like fun facts about whiskey.
Yeah, give us a little fun facts. I love facts.
So, you know, I didn't do like a ton of Jeopardy. Research into the history of it because I'm gonna do my story second. Let's end on a low note today. I'm doing the low.
I'll tell you what, you want good history on bourbon and whiskey. Go to Wikipedia. Scotch. Go to like a really, really expensive, fancy cocktail bar where the bartender has like, you know, a parted hair and suspenders. And a suspender. And he has like some nice scruff and he's like really handsome and is shaking the cocktail, you know, the has the shaker perfect. You know, he's like, that's the Tokyo shake.
Or ask our friend Robbie Nelson.
Yeah, yeah. Ask somebody.
I was like talking to him the other day. I'm like, what are you? He's like, I'm inside reading. I'm like, what are you reading? He's like, just a book on whiskey and then this other book on whiskey. I was like,
if you want to know,
that's amazing.
If you want to know how you can use whiskey in your cake and glaze it, you talk to me and Zara. And then how to have a party and get drunk in whiskey. You call and email us because we'll tell you all about that.
Yes, we will. If you want to know about where it came from and the history of it, call God.
But we'll give a little briefing. Go ahead, Zara. What do you got?
Okay, show this us. Is a little bit I know. Between the years like 1000 and 1200 AD. Oh, is kind of like when it becomes on the books.
Just shortly after Jesus' death.
Yeah, like about 1,000 years after Jesus' death. AD stands for after death.
Oh, I thought it meant
a donut. Okay, so the Scottish and the Irish monasteries didn't have like vineyards, so there was no like grapes and stuff in Scotland and Ireland, so they just started distilling, fermenting grains. And mash like that. And that's how that's where they get the first distillation of modern whiskey. So there's 5 regional whiskeys that are faux show. And then there's 2 additional ones that sometimes people tack on as being like,
so what are the 5?
The top 5 are obviously Scotch whiskey, which, you know, can be smoky and peaty. It's Scotch. Like if you're like, I want a Scotch on the rocks. If you're my grandmother, rest in peace. That's what you would drink. Irish whiskey is like Jameson's or like Bushmills. Kentucky whiskey is bourbon.
Yep. You got the Jack Daniel's, right?
Bourbon or rye Kentucky.
Rye has to be, I think it wasn't rye, something about New York State, and it had to be less than, it had to be like 50% rye and like 50% mash. Yeah, there's the whole thing about, used to know it when I was a knowledgeable human being.
Wow. And then Canadian whiskey, which is actually the second most, where is it here? Is the number one imported spirit to the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. It's second in consumption only to vodka, which I would think would make vodka the number one. So this is a funny, weird fact, but put it this way. I don't know anyone that drinks Canadian whiskey, but I was also reading that in Mad Men.
My grandfather drank it.
Like Canadian Club or like Seagram's. Yeah,
it's Canadian Club. He would have a Canadian Club in Manhattan.
It's very 50s.
7 in the morning.
That's what Don Draper drank.
Yeah.
On Mad Men, whenever you see them drinking whiskey, it's Canadian Club. Okay, what else do I have here? Another fun fact. In Gaelic, whiskey translates to, I'm definitely going to pronounce this wrong, but Usais Bethea, or water of life.
Of course it is.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, well, a lot of people would say that.
More than 50% of the purchase price of a fifth of whiskey in the U.S. goes to taxes. From the whiskey taxes. Isn't that so crazy, though? I think it's just whiskey. I don't know if it's like of all alcohol.
Well, I'm sure it changes state to state.
My curiosity ended after I read the one sentence. I was like, that's enough information for me.
Yeah.
Bye. And then also, this is one thing that I thought was super nuts, is that whiskey is actually beer.
Yeah, somebody was
without the
me
hops that. Yep. That's been distilled 2 or 3 times. And some whiskey does have hops in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a part in my research, there was something that I found that was talking about that.
Really?
Yeah.
I have one more thing I want to say about whiskey. One more fun fact.
Una cosita más por
whiskey. There's a really cool bar here, and we're going to talk about our favorite cocktail bars later.
Yeah.
But there's a very cool bar that's on the top of, like, in the back of this, like, yakitori place. What is that neighborhood called? Stuyvesant Town? Stuyvesant something?
Wait, on the corner of...
By where the Japanese market is?
Yeah, 9th Street.
Yeah.
Above Angel Share.
Angel Share. Do you know what Angel Share is? Like the term? I didn't know until today.
What does it mean?
Angel Share refers to the fact that each year, 4% of whiskey will evaporate. And they call it the Angel Share.
Because we're giving it to the angels?
Yeah. Is that crazy? It just disappears.
Mommy, dude, angels drink whiskey.
Why just whiskey?
I don't know. Maybe it happens to gin and we don't know it.
Again, this is where my curiosity ended and I was like, this is enough for me. So maybe it does happen to gin.
It's when I found the nearest cocktail lounge and grabbed myself a cocktail.
I was like, this is too much. It's making my head hurt. Anyway, so those are some fun facts. And this week, I think we're going to continue with this. One of us does the high, one of us does the low. It seems to be working well.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like I have a really, This is a story. We'll just start going into
this it. This is a story all about how my life got twist turned upside down, and I'm going to take a minute, just sit right there, and I'll tell you about how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
That's how I learned Spanish in Spain, was I watched the entire...
The entire show in Spanish?
In Spanish. It was dubbed over, but I'd already seen it in English, so that's how I...
What?
So I knew what the episodes were about.
That's amazing.
And it was like a Spanish rap.
Do you know,
like,
do you know it in Spanish?
No. I mean, I'd have... No, this was years ago.
Yeah.
Well, so this story about a certain type of whiskey.
Okay.
Or bourbon, should I say.
Mm.
It goes back... It's steeped in their family. Now, many people have covered this story before, but I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was very appropriate for this time of year. And you've all heard of this, but I'll just get to this because you'll talk about that. But this family started making this special brew. They had a secret recipe.
Ooh.
Back in like the late 1700s, 1784 approximately. And it was an area known as the Kentucky Territory. Before it was a state. And now they basically, this particular gentleman started making brew, and he gathered all the grains. There was a surplus of grains. The farmers couldn't feed it all to their cattle. They weren't eating it.
Right.
Again, this is, imagine the days when this was sparsely populated, this area.
Totally.
It wasn't even a state yet.
Yeah. The cows are riding the men.
Okay, so now around 1786, it became Bourbon County, and then I think in around 1792 is when Kentucky became the 15th state of the Union.
Okay.
And then Bourbon County kind of dissolved, and there was like different areas. It was split up or something. And there was this man, Robert Samuelson, who was making his version of the whiskey back then.
Okay.
Who knows how they made it? I'm sure they didn't have professional distillers, but
yeah.
Again... Contact your
local. I bet it was strong.
Again, yeah, I bet it was tasted. I don't know. Who
contact
knows?
Robbie Nelson with all questions.
Yeah, exactly.
About Robbie, anything that we don't know.
Oh, wait, can you have me that whiskey sauce for the souffle I'm pouring? Thank you. Okay, so then 1840. Now, a few generations pass, right? I love how in history, remember, you're like, the miracle of time passing.
Yes.
You're like, now, just, 50 years later.
Starway.
Starway. The family's still making this whiskey now. This was the original guy. Remember Robert Samuels?
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy.
It's
a very
names.
Complicated story because there's lots of family members. Imagine the Old South, Kentucky. People are smoking cigars.
Picture it.
Different families.
It sounds amazing. Actually, when I was reading about whiskey, I was reading some of the same stuff, and I
the squirrel, get out of here!
All
right, sorry
God
about that.
Damn it. Anyway, I was picturing the same kind of thing. I was like, man, must have been actually kind of cool back then. Yes, you did die maybe at like 12 on average, but also. Like, imagine the smokiness and the clothing and the swashbuckling. And
yes.
I guess not really swashbuckling. That's more maritime. But you know what I mean.
Yes. Well, it was
the
happening.
Railroads and the clanking and the oil.
People like, exactly, blacksmiths walking by.
Yes.
People grounding, milling flour for mm-hmm. bread to bake. Oh, man, this smelled. People not bathing for months at a time.
Mm. Perfect. Lots of pheasant.
Yeah, like, come into our house and under this like linen that's never washed in their bodies. Yeah. Anyway.
Have a stew.
So Robert's grandson, this guy, it's 1840. He decides to commercialize this operation. They're still making whiskey. It's in the family. And, you know, things kind of go awry. And then the family takes over 1898. Fast forward yet another 55. You know, the family's still doing
it. Yeah, they're
this.
Keeping it up.
Keeping it up. People are drinking whiskey. And then this, his name was Leslie B. And he was the son of the original guy, Robert's grandson. So
okay.
I know, right? We're the generations. Don't
yeah,
worry
yeah.
about the details.
I'm with you.
Right. And then so it was the brewery and distillery. This is when, the, you know, they were making beer and whiskey. Shot in a beer.
Shot in a beer. I want that right now.
No, don't. It's bad for you.
I don't know.
All right. Well, I'm looking at your skin and it's... I don't know what to say. Just kidding. Your skin looks great.
I have a lot of makeup on.
So this Leslie guy was operating this brewery and distillery. Now there was a giant fire. 1909. All right. So right before World War I. Oh my goodness. It destroyed 9,000 barrels. $100,000 worth of loss in today's equivalent. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So there was another distillery, you know, some company. There's tons of people making it. They decide to buy off the rest of what was left.
Okay.
The buildings, you know, whatever was not fired. And Leslie, this guy, was like, well, fine, you can have everything, but I want to remain the manager and I'm going to keep my little share.
Okay.
Right. Okay, great. So it's still in the family. And then, you know, 1920, we know what happened.
Prohibition.
Frick freaking
pro a motherfucking vision.
Although apparently there was something like people were drinking like a half a gallon of whiskey every day, or it was like the national average.
People were drinking a lot more during prohibition.
You gotta watch, if you really want to know about this, I can recommend watch Ken Burns Prohibition.
I never saw it. Oh, but it's amazing. My,
it's long and it's lengthy, but it is informative.
Get out
and
of
it
town.
I'm out of town right now. Bye.
No, stay in town. Okay, I need to hear the end of this story.
So now, listen. So 1933, Prohibition happens. Boom. Miracle of time passing. Oh, look. Yay. All those dead people and people that went to jail. It's okay. It's 1933. And, you know. anyway, so they get it back up and running. Leslie dies in 1936. Well, he had a son. T.W. Samuels, he was known as Bill Sr. Decides, it was like 1943, he's running it again. 1943.
This is almost, wait, when did it begin?
1784.
Oh my god, so this is like almost 200 years later. So 160 years later.
1943.
Yeah.
This Bill Sr. guy is like, screw this, I'm gonna take over and watch this, I'm gonna burn my family's recipe.
Oh my god.
He burns it. Right? And he's like, watch this. Get out of town, kids.
Just starting over.
The new generation. They're like, oh, but that was great-grand-grandpappies. That was great-grandpappies.
You didn't have to burn it.
So around 1951, he starts experimenting in his kitchen. He's like, let's take the local corn. This is where, like, he gets the talk part. I was like, wait, if we take local corn and mix that with malted barley, and he starts baking in his kitchen. He didn't have a distillery.
Oh, my God.
Right? So things are happening. And I guess...
Was he gay? He sounds like a fabulous gay chef.
He might have been. He was married to a woman named Marge.
I didn't say Mark.
So he has this idea. He's like, listen, I want to make some new whiskey. I'm going to change the name. We're going to make this happen.
Right.
And he gets investments and everything happens. And he has to wait a few years from like 1953 till 1958 when the first bottle was sold as the name Maker's Mark.
Whoa!
Can I get a Maker's Ginger? You've heard it.
Of course.
You'll hear it tonight.
This guy did all this work just so someone could mix it with freaking ginger ale.
Yeah, not even like real ginger ale, like Seagram's ginger ale. Anyway, the reason they changed the name.
That's crazy. And
it was the reason that they came with the word Maker's Mark was his wife, Marge, used to collect pewter. And she would always look for on the back of the pewter, be like, Mark of the Maker.
Oh my God.
And then she thought, she also used to have a vintage, this is where like collecting antiques pays off. Trust me, folks, I'm a huge antiquer, and I bet you are too. She collected vintage cognac bottles, and they always used to be dipped in wax. And she said, what if we did the same thing and dipped it in red wax?
Marge is a class act.
Class act Marge. His wife, Marge, she basically sealed the deal. And Maker's Mark 1958 was sold for $7 a bottle, and it was an instant success, and it took off ever since. And who knows, you know, then the rest is history.
Yeah.
Now drunk frat boys are like, yo bro, look, three Makers and diet.
Ugh.
I know. But
I like Maker's Mark.
You know what? I will say my first memory of having a really good Manhattan, it was always made with Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
When you're first buying whiskey, you get to take that little...
The little
red cap. And if you've never done it, you can take... It actually is real wax.
Yeah, it's wax.
You take it off and it's
Thanks to Marge.
It's glam. It's pretty glam.
It is glam. I like Maker's Mark. I think it's good bourbon.
Out of all the bourbons, it really is stuck, and it's one of the most famous, and it's pretty delicious.
It is. Listen, I think it's absolutely fine. It's certainly not like if you're going to just sip something and like there's so many whiskey snobs out there. It's like, my Pappy Van Winkle that cost $8,000 a shot.
Take your Pappy Van Winkle
and shove it.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are Pappy.
Who cares? Good for you.
Exactly.
You want a prize? I like Maker's Mark, and I like your story.
You know, I thought it was about a family of perseverance. It was about somebody deciding to take this old tradition, but also make it a new thing and rebrand it. And he said, you know what? Hey, it was in his blood. Yeah. And apparently Marge's, too.
Yeah.
And who knows? Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm sure there was all kinds of other Montney drama after, but
I bet he took that family recipe and his grandfather's like ashes and like burned them all in a fire. He's like, and his father's ashes. He's like, fuck all y'all your recipe. I'm making my mark. I'm the maker now.
Yeah.
Here's my mark.
Mark.
And my wife's name is Mark.
Mark Marge. Yeah.
She's Marky she's Marge.
Like, Maker's Marge. That would have been maybe.
It just rolls off the tongue. He's like, no, we'll name it Mark.
Yeah. Maker's Marge.
After my real wife, Mark.
So do tell. What is
I have a tragedy story today. Yes.
What tragedy do you have for us?
I have a low story about whiskey.
I'm already sad.
Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, I almost thought this should be a two-parter because I was like, there's so many shitty low stories about whiskey of awful things happening. I want to just briefly mention, but we were talking about Prohibition. I was reading, I almost did a story about how during Prohibition, the government was poisoning moonshine so that people would stop bootlegging and drinking moonshine. And they didn't stop. It just killed all these people.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, that was a contender. Then there was another giant explosion fire.
So it sounds like alcohol creates a lot of...
It can cause some problems. I've known it to... Yeah, it not only causes hangovers, it causes fires and wars.
My Atlanta. You know why I have a hangover today?
Tell us.
Folks, I have a hangover. Japanese whiskey.
I've never had Japanese whiskey.
Well, apparently I had a plenty last night.
Yeah.
I just had a plenty.
I drank whiskey last night too, and I normally don't. And I went in to have a drink at my local up at Frankie's, and the bartender was like, gin martini for you, Laura, because that's normally what I drink. And I was like, not so fast. The weather has dipped below 50 degrees. I'm on to bourbon.
Yeah.
And I had a Manhattan, and then I had two more.
Classic Manhattan.
I'm not hungover, though. Somehow it's because I gorged on popcorn when I got home.
Yes. Well, when you're in your 40s, things tend to shift downward.
Yeah.
Downward, and your hangovers become... something else.
I get really bad hangovers, but I don't have one today.
All right, go ahead, Zara.
Anyway, so I'm going to tell you a story about a little gentleman. It's going to begin with a man that we call... this is also a family story.
I like families.
You know what my topic's about, so don't ruin it for the listeners, because I'm going to try to do a big reveal. I'm going to copycat
candlesticks.
You.
Candlesticks. No, I just saw candlesticks. Go ahead. It's
okay.
Not candlesticks.
Foxes. Okay, so we begin the story with a gentleman by the name of Thomas Lincoln.
I like Thomas.
Born in the year 1778 in Virginia, Thomas then moved to Kentucky when he was a little bit older.
After it had become a state.
After it had become a state. Yeah, what year did it become a state?
In 1792.
Oh, right.
Kentucky
yeah.
became a
So he stoat. Moved to just a place that had no name. He's like, where am I? People are just like, you're somewhere. We don't know what it's called.
It's a territory. don't worry. We took it from those Native Americans.
You're here wherever you are. Actually, he saw his father killed at the age of 8 by a Native American in the yard. And then his family...
I bet
like,
it was brutal.
I bet it was probably...
Can you imagine your backyard just... strange,
like a person
strange,
just comes out of the woods.
Like on a horse
you.
And just like hacks off
yeah,
your head.
Bye.
Mommy.
Yeah. Dad is murdered.
Yeah. We have like a squirrel outside our window.
Yeah.
We're
like, we're like, oh my God, intruder. That's
no,
very
there's
true.
A very angry person. That,
just murderers everywhere.
Well, but they were infringing upon their land.
I am in no way saying that they're unjustified in murdering. It still doesn't take away the fact that it must have been very scary to have murder people trying to kill you everywhere.
Yeah,
and
wow.
Extremely scary for the Native Americans because they're like, we were already here and then now you're... yeah.
No wonder they needed whiskey.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I need something to take the edge off.
You know when you have like a crazy day and you're like, oh God, like, oh my God, you know, the subway took 25 minutes to come. I need a drink. These people are like, there's people trying to kill me absolutely everywhere. Everyone has scurvy. And
children are dying.
Again,
like babies are dying.
Yeah. Everyone's dead. There's like oxen. There's dysentery.
The blacksmith again, like chick-clank, like stop the clinking. Stop hammering.
There's so much clinking.
Can
all
you
the bread
imagine
is stale.
The hangovers in that time.
Yeah.
Oh, the smell.
Smelly butts and armpits and balls.
Stop. Go with
everywhere.
Your story. I need you to continue on.
And murder all the time, everywhere.
All right.
We have no right to even complain or
okay,
be like, I
need
a drink.
You've given me the backstory. I feel terrible. Go ahead.
Anyway, so he gets married in 1806 and he has two sons. So he ends up moving to, he can't really hold a job. He's not like very good at working anywhere.
Oh, kind of like me.
I didn't want to draw any comparisons, but if you say so. So
he can only work for 1 week at a time. Trust me.
He was kind of the same way. So he went to go work at a distillery that was owned by Waddy Boone, who is a relative of pioneer Daniel Boone. Huh. Raccoon hat wearing Daniel Boone.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. It was, he made great whiskey, but he decided to take the family and move to Indiana for reasons that are still unclear. So they all go to Indiana. He trades everything he has for a couple barrels of whiskey because he's like, I'm going to go out on my own and do my own whiskey trading thing and nobody's going to stop
whiskey
me.
Whiskey trading. Okay,
yeah.
I like this.
It was lucrative. So... sells everything.
This is the guy that couldn't keep a job.
Guy who can't keep a job. Works for Daniel Boone's kinfolk.
People that can't keep a job are meant to be CEOs. That's just...
Well,
that's,
this unfortunately doesn't happen to Thomas Lincoln. They're on the river. He's with his two sons. No. And they get shipwrecked. And all of the whiskey that he traded everything for and all his tools get like floating off to sea.
Oh.
Yeah. And so then he tries to open a bunch of different farms. And like three farms that he has like fail. God, he can't really do anything. Right. He makes one of his sons... He makes both of his sons work so hard that people describe it that he treated them like actual slaves. He was really cruel. And his relationship with his one son...
Well, I am thinking about having children now. Go ahead. I forgot you can make them into slaves.
His relationship with his one son gets so bad that the son like doesn't even go to his funeral and he dies. And that son's name was Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, God, what an honest Abe. Honest Abe had a not so great...
Honest Abe had a whiskey peddling father. So then when Abe becomes kind of like, you know, in his 20s, you know, before he runs for president, his first thing he does, he saves up some money and he opens up like a trading shop, a variety store kind of thing with his friend.
Yeah, it's a variety store.
Like a, I forget what you call it, like a, not a...
Sundries?
Yeah, like sundries, exactly.
Yes.
Like a five and dime type thing.
Yes. A meat and three. I'm hungry.
Put your swizzle sticks and pipe smoke.
Of corned beef. Yes, with the side of the sizzled corn.
Can I get a grain bowl? Abraham Lincoln's like, what's that?
Could I get a grain bowl with some acai berries and some like avocado on the side?
Do you have like tahini dressing, but like without sesame seeds?
Oh, and I like those pumpkin seeds. Go ahead.
So he opens a general store.
I like general stores.
And they sell whiskey by the bottle and by the glass. But general stores in that time were like kind of operating as taverns, but they'd have them like hidden in the back. So just keep in the back of your mind that Abraham Lincoln was a licensed bartender, and he was the only president that we've ever had that's been a bartender.
I know how to make a proper cocktail.
Exactly. So his partner dies young from drinking in the general store business.
Okay.
And he leaves him with all this debt, and that totaled about $1,100, which in today's money is like $800 million. No, it's a lot, but he's Honest Abe, so he paid it off. He worked hard. He put his nose to the grindstone. He pulled himself up by his size 18 bootstraps.
God, now I'm feeling real. Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to be my father.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm not going to be a loser and let everything wash down the river. So fast forward up to the year 1860, and Abraham Lincoln wins the election to become the 16th president of the United States of America. Now, during this election... There's something called the temperance movement. Ever heard of it?
Yes.
The temperance movement was basically like a fringe. It was made up of like a fringe kind of group of people, much like the Tea Party is today.
Yes.
But yet, just like the Tea Party, even though it was like a small sect of people in the country, they had such like a loud, obnoxious voice that people somehow took them seriously and they had political sway. So Abe Lincoln became compassionate to temperance and was like, against alcohol, was like kind of very puritanical in some ways.
Well,
religious.
I think there was a lot that the women and children were feeling actually getting abused. There was a reason that this happened. Again, that was when I was talking about the average American at that time,
right?
Perhaps was drinking a half a.
That's
like
a really good point.
So people were these very angry and very hardworking. It was a very depressing time for a lot of people. You know, war, lots of strife. Of course, they're drinking away their feelings, and then they're hungover.
Right. And then they're
just like me today, and then they're beating their heads against the wall, and they're telling, Zara, why are you doing that? Leave me alone. And now I'm just...
sorry.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I just tried to pet your beard. It's so nice.
Yeah, well, I don't like nice. Okay, so that's what whiskey does to you.
So whiskey makes people absolutely insane, and these temperance folks, whether they were puritanical prudes or they were actually battered wives who needed to kind of stand up for themselves, they were against the consumption of alcohol.
Of course.
So, yeah, as I said, Abe jumps on the temperance bandwagon. He reinstates the whiskey tax, which I just mentioned before, which had gone... on and off and on and off.
Builds our schools and our churches.
Yeah, it does.
Paves and the roads.
It was something that was...
lays down the
railroad tracks. Originally wanted it or put it into law, and then George Washington repealed it and it went back and forth. That doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Wait, George Washington was the first president.
Something like that.
But Thomas Jefferson was not the president, obviously, but he was a lawmaker before Washington became president?
Yes, of course. He was around.
Okay. I don't know. Please.
He was growing marijuana in his backyard.
Somebody Wikipedia that and send the answer to
Roland
us.
Roland Spliffs. He's like, here's some tobacco and some of this marijuana.
So, yes. Anyway, he reinstates the whiskey tax, which at the time made up for 70% of the federal budget.
Well, how about that?
Yeah. They got 70% of the money for the country from whiskey.
People were drunk,
barfing everywhere, sleeping in the streets, sleeping with their neighbors, sleeping with their animals, sleeping through work, lots of sleeping, waking up and drinking. I wrote here in 1962, but obviously that's incorrect, and I meant in 1862. To fund the Civil War,
100 years.
To fund the Civil War, he signs into law the Revenue Act of 1862, which has the excise tax, which adds tax to all things like sin taxes. So cigarettes, liquor, tobacco, playing cards, gunpowder, feathers.
Yep. Never trust
a
telegram.
Never trust a feather.
Yeah, yeah.
The feather is a sin, according to Abraham Lincoln. He's like, those fluffy feathers.
Put a feather in your hat and call it a Yankee Doodle. I don't trust him. No, go ahead.
That sinister feather. Telegrams, iron, leather, pianos.
Oh, I love a piano.
Yachts, carriages, billiard tables, and jewelry.
Everything.
Anything chill.
Anything.
Yeah. So anyway, everything got taxed and people were extremely upset about
this. The only thing worth living
for
in the late
1800s. Chocolate, salami.
Like anything that will make you mildly happy and not want to drink whiskey, too bad.
Coats.
Double tax.
Makeup.
Triple tax.
In 1865, unfortunately, something bad happens to old Abraham Lincoln. So the day is April 14th. Lincoln, obviously, as we all know, had, freed the slaves. He did a lot to progress this country forward. This is very sad.
Be a model citizen.
Yeah.
And being a gentleman.
He was tall.
And a wonderful leader.
Great face structure. Yeah, exactly. Something called a good leader.
Like with a good heart and an honest Abe.
Honest Abe. Donald Trump, you and your fucking hamburger taco bowl, whatever bullshit. All right. So April 14th, 1865. As we all know, Abraham Lincoln is at the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
John Wilkes Booth is next door at the Taltaval's Star Saloon. He buys a pint of whiskey.
Oh, there you go.
Chugs Lowers half it. Of it.
Wait, puts a pint? They sold whiskey by the pint.
In bars.
Like instead of a pint of beer, which is 16 ounces.
Right, but it's a glass pint with a top.
Okay.
But
so
still.
It's like one of those large Long Island iced teas.
Yes.
In measurements.
Correct. Exactly. It's one styrofoam teacup. So he buys a pint of whiskey, drinks half of it, puts the rest in his pocket. Who's next to him at the bar also drinking whiskey?
Who?
Not with the president. The president's bodyguard. The same bar.
Drinking.
Getting wasted on whiskey. While Lincoln is watching the show, which was a play called Our American Cousin. I actually never knew what the play was. I was like, what was the play? John Wilkes Booth sees the opportunity to get close to the president as his bodyguard is not there. And John Wilkes Booth, I guess, was a actor. So he was like, people knew him around there so he could get into the...
Yeah, like, hey, go on.
They're like,
backstage.
Oh, hey, John. Yeah. So he got in. He... shot Lincoln in the back of the head. He dies after about eight hours in a coma.
Poor thing. God, what a
Yeah. Really, really, really,
so,
really awful. And Andrew Johnson becomes the next president.
Let's rethink our Manhattans for tonight. I have a question. That's really sad.
It is really sad.
It's
interesting, though. His life began and ended entangled in whiskey, and he himself
it's a really great
didn't
story
drink, and yet he like lost people to whiskey. The person who murdered him was wasted on whiskey, found with a bottle of whiskey in his back pocket. His dad was into whiskey, lost the family fortune to whiskey, like, but he was this like up like stand-up guy who added tax to whiskey, and people all freaked out on him.
Do you ever hear the thing where people will say they're whiskey rage or something?
Yeah.
Whiskey
or whiskey dick.
Dick.
That's when you're trying to have sex with a guy and his penis is asleep on whiskey.
Yeah, whiskey dick. But it's actually cocaine, but they just disguise it as whiskey.
Oh, that's cocaine dick. That's when your dick won't stop trying to give you its favorite book. It's like, oh my God, but have you heard this song off this like rare cut and this B-side of this album? Oh my God. But my parents and your dick just tells you all about like your childhood. It's childhood.
Yeah. Well, so whiskey is known. I do feel when I drink whiskey, in fact, I can relate right this second mm-hmm. because I am currently experiencing a whiskey, champagne, vodka, bourbon, cognac hangover.
Brenton.
I forgot about the tequila.
Silly girl. That's crazy.
I have a problem. Oh my God. It's a delicious problem. Anyway, no, I actually do feel...
I just spit out my double strong dandelion
I have...
tea. Funny.
I had some very expensive whiskey, and I actually do feel... My physical body feels really good, but I feel very crazy.
Yes.
And it's also full moon, and I'm also me.
You're like, I feel crazy, so like I want to murder yeah. somebody sitting across from me.
Yes, could I get you to that backside there? There's a girl I don't like. I mean, like her. I just, I need to sit behind her with a gun.
I like her. I just want to kill her.
Well, what the heck?
I know. Crazy. So should we talk on top three today a little bit
yeah,
about...
Yeah, let's just shift this right away, because I feel like we should have said... That's fine. You know what? We have to
You think
accept
we should
strife.
Do the high...
No, I think we need to high. Realize... What happens when you drink too much whiskey?
And it's terrible. But, you know, and also...
Also, a pint of whiskey is a little insane.
It's a lot. And, I mean, you...
Even a half.
I probably drank a pint of whiskey, though, last night. If you...
A pint of whiskey?
Yeah, probably.
That's... I guess it's only 8 shots.
I mean, I probably... yeah.
Says the guy from Wisconsin. It's like, well, this really is only 8 shots. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And if one of those shots is like a... Listen, I'll tell you this. Whenever I used to bartend back in Wisconsin... Mm-hmm. I remember I learned from a very, from this very old man. He's like, here's how you make a drink. You drink it into a glass, and you pack it full of ice, and you fill it with booze, right? So they think they're getting a deal, but, you know, you're filling it with booze, so they're happy, and they get drunk fast, and they keep coming back for more.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's how you make money. And I was
that's
like,
that's how you make a cocktail.
That's how you make a cocktail. No mixing or stirring. Like, there's no hipsters are doing in Williamsburg.
Crazy hipsters. I had...
Actually, it's Bed-Stuy now.
I like a Manhattan, and I had a couple of rye Manhattans last night.
Rye, yes.
Delicious.
Okay, so Such what's our drink. Top three? Our top three.
Our top three. Each, we should say, our top three placed cocktail bars.
Okay. That just have to include... Well, I mean, kind of includes whiskey, right?
Yeah, I think it should be a great place to get a nice cocktail, specifically like where you can get a great Manhattan.
Great. We are our top three, and we'll do this separately, and we are not going to include our two favorite bars, which we own stock and pay all of their rent every month.
Brooklyn Social or Henry Public. Yeah.
Brooklyn Social and Henry Public are your favorite bars.
Yes.
Automatically on Life's a Banquet. We promote them. They're both in Cobble Hill and Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn. Please go and visit.
Definitely.
But my three favorite cocktail bars, I'm still, you know what? I hate to say it. Well, why would I hate to say it?
Love it.
I love to say it.
Live it and love it.
I have been doing positive affirmations every day, except for today, because of the whiskey. See what happens.
Today, you're like, Brenton, I hate you. You're a failure.
You're a failure. Why do you do this? What's wrong with you? Time and time again, it's like a repeat. You're basically a sociopath. No. Gramercy Tavern.
Yeah.
Okay, love that. Gramercy Lovely. Tavern on 20th Street in Manhattan. Okay.
I've
been saying
once.
New York City once.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite place to get whiskey is... Go ahead. I have to think about this for 2 seconds.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead, yeah. Give me your three.
Okay, my top three places, my top three favorite cocktail bars. I really do love Clover Club. It holds like a very special place in my
heart.
It's lovely. It's warm. Julie, who owns it, is the greatest. It's an institution. I really like it there.
Yes. Oh, I thought of one. Go ahead.
I guess if I'm going to get a Manhattan, if I'm going to have a whiskey drink, my mind automatically goes, my number two is going to have to be the bar at Keen's.
Oh, yes. Keen's is a steakhouse in Midtown.
Early Midtown.
Young,
it's on like
Young Midtown.
Little Midtown, we call it. It's on like 38th, I think, between 5th and 6th.
Yes. Right before Times Square.
I love that place very, very much. And I think my number one place to get a whiskey cocktail. Interesting.
Well, hold on. I'll tell you.
Oh,
I'll
you want to go? Okay, I'll think about mine.
Yeah, you think about yours. So obviously, my number one is Gramercy Tavern. You go there in the fall, in the winter, and they have this beautiful, wonderful, you know, floral arrangement all over the place. And it's rustic and fun, and you can smell the wood-burning oven. It's just gorgeous. And you sit at that gorgeous bar, and you get a nice Manhattan. And it's just the most elegant of experiences. Beautiful. And then when I'm feeling real kind of down and dirty, I like to go to Alibi Bar in Fort Greene. Alibi is an old school.
I love Alibi.
Classic old New York Coke den.
Yes.
And you can go.
Shot and a beer.
Shot and a beer.
$5.
$5. You can go still in New York City to this day. I don't think they've raised the price since 1991. And there's always a curmudgeon-y old bartender. That's always really nice. Like first angry and then kind of nice. And
yeah.
You know, the kind of bartender is like $5. Like five.
Yeah.
Like, and then just doesn't.
And you just give him a high five. Yeah. And you're like, hello.
So Alibi's an old dive bar, Fort Greene, Brooklyn. And then go ahead. What's your favorite one?
I'm having a little bit of trouble picking a favorite one because I have a bunch. I do have a favorite one that I don't really want to recommend only because I'm angry because I have a friend who worked at this place and she was improperly let go of. So my actual favorite place is I'm not going to say where, but my favorite place is somewhere I'm not going to actually
say. What about anywhere in Long Island?
There's nowhere in Long Island that I really like to go get a whiskey cocktail. I guess my number one favorite, if I had to say, is
go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and say Raoul's.
Raoul's. I forgot. I actually just walked by there last week. Raoul's. With a R-A-O-U-L, like a French Raoul, is on...
It's on like Prince. Spring Street?
Is that Spring?
I can't remember.
Spring
it's
or
in
Prince?
Noho, Soho somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's off of Thompson. Yeah. And it's a cute French bistro restaurant. Oh, like I think it was like from the 1970s, late 70s. And they are known for their fabulous burger.
I've never had it.
Only at the bar. I have not. Yeah, it's only at the bar. And they only have a few of them. Yeah. You can actually get it at brunch, I found out. But they're... you can get a nice Manhattan there.
Yeah.
It's super old school in New York. Great. It just feels fabulous. And their burger has this like triple cream cheese. Ooh.
I was talking to Peter Shelsky about it months ago and he was saying that he had it and then it was great.
And they're supposed to have really great fries. And again, I have not had the burger and fries.
Let's go.
I went there one time and had a cocktail when I was single on Valentine's Day years ago. And I went there. I was like, I'll have the burger. They're like, it's a tasting menu only tonight. I'm like, but I'm a... I was like, I'm a...
Screw Valentine's Day.
And I was like, having them. I'm like, I'm here alone at the bar and I'm proud of it. And they're like,
take myself
out. I was like, can I just get the side of the fries? Like, nope. I was like, but I'm just here alone at the bar. Like, nope.
Yeah, you're like, find a loved one, you loser.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get out of here.
It's a singles party for you kids.
I was having a hard time answering because I was between that and Grand Central Oyster Bar.
Grand Central is good. I don't.
That's not where I'd go for a whiskey cocktail. It's just my favorite bar, though.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I'll say it again. Is Tornado Club in Madison, Wisconsin.
I want to go.
It's good in the summer, the winter, but you go there. Tornado Club, first of all, you get a giant triple size martini glass, probably like $7 or $8 still.
How fabulous.
And you can get a really nice Manhattan at this beautiful. So the Tornado Club is it's right on Capitol Hill in Madison, Wisconsin. And it is original. It's like an original 1950s, mid-century modern. Very little has been changed. And it is
awesome.
Glam with a capital G.
That is so cool. So I really want to go.
That's my number one.
I actually have one more that I want to mention.
Okay, so another number one.
So my dad, like he stopped drinking in like the last year that he was alive, but he was always a big time whiskey drinker, a bourbon drinker.
Oh, yes.
He loved bourbon and he could drink a bottle of bourbon and be totally functional and cool.
And he didn't abuse anybody.
No, and he wasn't like an alcoholic either. He just was a big guy and he had a very high tolerance for alcohol. So he would sit, he would come up to Brucey sometimes and like he loved Brucey and he came up for the couple
Zara's
first
old
years.
Restaurant.
Yeah. And he would come sit at the end of the bar and he'd bring everyone barbecue from North Carolina on dry ice and he would sit and drink like a bottle of bourbon and his favorite drink was a Manhattan. And when I'd go visit him
Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina, he would always have Manhattans. He would make them for us. Whenever we'd go out, he'd have one. And his favorite restaurant was a place that's also one of my favorite restaurants. We didn't get to go there. It's called The Admiral.
The Admiral, I've heard about
this. It's really cute. It's in this like old dive bar space. It's like the food is delicious. My dad and I, it was like our place. We would always go there and he'd always get a Manhattan. And after he died, my mom came down to help me like close up the house, and we went out for like a farewell dinner for my dad, and we went to the Admiral. Again, if you don't know, my parents were actually divorced. They hadn't seen each other in like 25 years. So it was kind of weird that my mom was there and we were doing that together. Very, but it was cinematic. Very nice. And we went to the Admiral and had Manhattans. My mom also doesn't really drink bourbon, but she did that night. And we had Manhattans and like thought about my dad, and it was really nice. And so I think that actually is my favorite place to get a whiskey drink. Oh, that's very sweet. Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
North Carolina. Yeah. That was, what a wonderful city.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, folks.
And then, we have to do our chef recommends.
Oh.
Let's do recommend. What could you put whiskey in? Let's each name a couple things we could put whiskey in.
Okay. Here's my focus this week.
Okay.
Chef recommends making a chocolate whiskey cake.
Yum.
Now, I haven't made one. I was supposed to make it today, but I was hungover. Shocking on whiskey. ironic, isn't it? Don't you think? But there is a really wonderful recipe in the New York Times, and I haven't made it yet, but there's two that come to mind, which is Melissa Clark had a recipe for a chocolate whiskey cake, yum, which if you Google that on the New York Times, it'll show up. It was from another restaurant that she had adapted. It's really wonderful. And then the other one is Dory Greenspan.
Perfect.
One
of the most favorite, perfect little lady.
My fabulous non-friend. But
remember we met her?
Yes, we met Dory Greenspan, and I'm obsessed. But she has a recipe for I think it's a prune Armagnac cake, which you can also sub any kind of whiskey, scotch whiskey, whatever. And she got fired at that restaurant that she worked as a pastry chef for fiddling with the recipe.
Oh, my God.
And the recipe was written by Simone Beck.
Oh, yeah, who wrote The Art of French Cooking with Julia Child.
So kind of funny little story.
Wow, that's amazing.
Chocolate, whiskey, or prune whiskey cake. That sounds fun, right?
That sounds delicious.
Okay, what is your chef recommends?
My chef recommends tip is something that I used to do at Brucey, which was use Laphroaig as a garnish.
Oh, Zara, this is so yummy.
So Laphroaig, for anyone who doesn't know, is a very peaty scotch.
Super smoky.
What is like, peaty? Peaty is smoky, right? So if you've ever had scotch that tastes smoked, like kind of like if you... Mezcal is all the rage now. Kind of that same flavor.
It's actually smoked, introduced into the...
Right.
Into the liquid.
So... we used to take Laphroaig, not cooked down or anything, and we'd put it in a squirt bottle and drizzle it on certain things that we wanted to add that flavor to.
Ice cream.
Oh, yeah. We would put it on top of ice cream, drizzle it on top of ice cream with honey. Delicious. That's amazing. Some sea salt.
That's a nice little
I would do it on top of like soups, though. Like a lot of times, like I'd make like a cream of potato soup or just a cream of mushroom
soup.
That's
a really good idea.
And then you do a drizzle of Laphroaig on top and then a drizzle of olive oil, and it's delicious.
Okay, I think you're a chef. Not that there's a competition, but okay. So here's the perfect fault. Ready?
Yes.
You're planning a dinner party. The holidays are coming up. You're going to make a nice like roast meat or something. And then exactly, you'll have a nice potato leek cream soup or cream of mushroom soup. And then again, you'll go and you can get those small bottles.
Yeah, that's perfect. And just drizzle it in.
And you know what? If Laphroaig 10 is too expensive, because I think it's around $50 or $60 a bottle. Ask your liquor store retail person,
yes,
helper, and just say, hey, listen, I want to spend around $20-$25.
Perfect.
Or whatever you can afford. And just say, hey, what's something that's like Laphroaig? And they will usually give you something. I got a very inexpensive scotch that I use for cooking.
That's really smart, because you don't really need like...
No, it does the same trick.
Right. If you have like a peaty scotch at home like already, then use a drizzle a bit. And if not, then yeah, that's a great idea. And you can also cook it into something, but there is something really cool about that like uncooked... like sharp whiskey flavor as a garnish. You can try that. I mean, that's actually kind of a fun tip for a lot of things.
Serve your guests, and then of course, you know, for dessert, then you like do a whiskey dinner.
Whiskey cake.
And you have a chocolate whiskey cake with some whipped cream with just a little bit of whiskey in it.
Ooh. Well, we did actually, this is just jogging my memory. I completely forgot about this. We had a friend a couple years ago, Craig, who was the brand ambassador for Macallan.
Oh, he had lots of bottles of whiskey.
Yeah, and we did a whiskey dinner. Oh, right, you know Craig. And we did a whiskey dinner at Brucey for Macallan using whiskey in every course. And I don't remember everything we made, but I did just remember that we made a whiskey pasta. And so when you make pasta, you always put water. If you make fresh pasta, you put eggs and you put some water into flour, semolina. And instead of using water, we put whiskey,
a little bit of whiskey
in, and we use that.
Probably evaporates.
And then just did it with like a whiskey, brown butter sauce. Well, it was delicious.
There you go.
Yeah. Really fun.
I think we can stop there.
I think so too. I have one quote that I'd like to end on from Abraham Lincoln. It's to you.
Yes. Stop drinking so much, you fool.
Breton, you have a problem. AA meeting down the street. I told them. I'm a success today because I had a friend who believed in me and I didn't have the heart to let him down.
Oh, I'm almost crying.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, that's very sweet. Listen, everybody, please send us your comments, your emails again. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Yes.
Life's a Banquet.
Show, right?
Oh, our email. Life's a Banquet Show at gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at Life's a Banquet Podcast.
And then also, we have a Patreon page. And even if you donate $1 per month.
Yeah, even 50 cents.
Even 50 cents would be awesome because that adds up. And then we can kind of do some cooler things. And, you know, maybe next time we do a bourbon episode, we could actually afford to buy some bourbon to drink.
Could you imagine? Because I drank it all last night. All right, folks, listen, have a great week.
All right, happy Halloween. Boo-ah!
Ah, and get those whiskey dinners going.
Hasta la whiskey pasta.
Acha.
Bye. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.